not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We ask that you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 17, as we look at these verses in what I'm entitling Paul's Spiritual Autobiography. And we're going to say part 1, part 2. This would be part 1 as we examine verses 7 through 13, and the remainder part of the chapter will be our part 2 session at our next appointed time. Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We've been in the book of Romans for some time. It was never my intention to preach through Romans on our broadcast network, but it certainly seems what the Lord had in mind. We've learned that the truth that all men are sinners before the Lord and that men are in need of a Savior, chapters 1 through 3. We have learned that true righteousness and salvation come only through the exercise of faith, chapters 4 and 5. We have learned that in Jesus Christ we are dead to sin and to the law, chapters 6 and 7 of where we are. Most recently, we discovered that we have been liberated from the law of God by our death with Christ on the cross, that we are no longer married to the law, but are married to Jesus and are free from the law. Now, in these verses before us, Paul is going to illustrate his teachings about the law of God by sharing with us in an intimate look into his own life in these verses. And through to the end of the chapter, Paul gives us his spiritual autobiography. Now, when someone testifies in church, they usually paint the good picture. However, imagine someone standing up in the congregation and they say something like, "Folks, I want you to know that I am saved, but that I have been sinning. In fact, my heart yearns for sin, and even though I know it's wrong, sometimes I still give in to my desires. Please pray for me, because every time the Lord tells me not to do something, I want to do that thing more than anything in life." You'd say, preacher, absolutely no one would do that. But if we were honest, most of us would have to say, that's exactly where I'm at. In these verses, Paul reveals a side of himself that most of us try to keep buried, perhaps, in our minds. He shares with us his spiritual biography. Verses 7 through 13 tells us of the days in Paul's life before he came to know Jesus Christ. He's taking us back to a time in his life when the law ruled everything he was and everything he did. He will share with us what he has learned about the law of God. It isn't pretty, but it is teaching that every person under the sound of my voice needs to hear. In verse 7, Paul opens this section with a question. Is the law sin? Of course not. The law came from the Lord. Therefore, it cannot be evil. However, while the law is good, it is also vital to a proper understanding of the nature of sin. Paul reveals to us the truth that it was the holy law of God that taught him that he came to know about sin. He mentions the sin of lust and tells us that had the law not said, thou shalt not covet, he would never have known what lust was. He isn't blaming his sin on the law. He is merely pointing out the truth that the law made plain exactly what sin really was. The law identifies sin. Now, Paul had lived his life trying to keep the letter of the law. He had done it so precisely that he missed the whole spirit of the law itself. He had been trained to believe that sin was something a person did in the physical realm, but through the ministry of the Spirit, Paul learned that sin was something that originated in the heart. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 21 through 48. Yet the lost man can never see this truth until it's revealed to him by the Holy Spirit of God. Now perhaps this is what Paul is referring to here. Maybe he is remembering that day when he held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen. Maybe it began to dawn on his mind that his religion was pretty small after all. Maybe it was that day in the road to Damascus when the Lord Jesus spoke to him and he knew that his self-righteousness would never be good enough. The bottom line of all this is that the law reveals the sinfulness of our human flesh through our actions. But it also reveals the wretchedness of the human heart. Not only does the law reveal sin, but in verse 8, the law revives sin. Paul tells us that sin takes the law as an opportunity to tempt us to evil. The word occasion literally means opportunity. The word refers to a beachhead or the starting point for an expedition. Sin sees the law as its opportunity to create in us a desire for sin. It's as if you're telling a child no, and every time that child, it makes him want to say yes. He makes him want to cross that line. It makes him want to touch that boundary. Paul tells us that The sin caused him to lust because the law had forbidden covetousness. We see the same truth all around us and in us all the time. For illustration, when you see a sign that says, "Keep off the grass," there is a part of you that wants to step on that grass. When we see a sign that says, "Speed limit 55, there's an element inside of us that we want to do at least 60. Just to show we can violate the law and get away with it. The law always reveals an attitude within the sinner that wants to try to get away with breaking it. This is exactly the process that brought sin into the world to begin with. God made man in His image. He placed him in a perfect environment. God gave man access to everything in creation, with the exception of one tree, Genesis 2 and verse 17. Yet when the law was given, there arose an opportunity for sin to come to live. And this law proved to be the springboard Satan used to entice man into sin. The last part of this verse does an attempt to teach that before the law, there was no sin. From reading your Bible, it's quite plain to see that sin was as rampant then as it is now. And what this means is that where the law does not exist, the full knowledge of what is wrong does not exist either. When the line is drawn by the law, the rebellious spirit of man within man wants to immediately step over that line. The law reveals sin. The law revives sin. And in verses 9 through 11, the law ruins sinners. Paul said in verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." The apostle tells us that there was a time in his life when he felt alive. When he was following after the law, he was keeping it externally. He did so because he thought that it was a means, the means, to his salvation. He kept the law in an effort to gain eternal life. And he was doing quite well. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Paul was doing quite well. However, when the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to the fact that the law could be broken just as easily in the heart as it could in the flesh, Paul died. Verse 9 of Romans chapter 7, Paul died. "When the commandment came, sin revived, I died." He came to realize that all his effort, all his righteousness and all his hopes and all of his dreams were just so much dust in the wind. Paul learned the reality of Isaiah 64 and 6 firsthand, that all of his righteousness before a holy God was just filthy rags. Now, friend, it works the same way with you and I. When we see ourselves as we really are, through the eyes of God, through the eyes of the law of God, it has a way of shattering our self-image. In fact, the knowledge of the reality of sin is devastating. However, it is the first essential step to salvation in Jesus Christ. Before we can ever be saved, we must first become lost. Paul in verse 10 tells us that he had trusted the law to give him eternal life, but in the end, all the law could deliver was condemnation, death, and an eternity in hell. Verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The law cannot save. Keeping list of do's and don'ts cannot save. The law can be an instrument God uses to bring us to life, but the law itself can never give life. That's a lesson we should learn in our day. This is a lesson that many in our day need to learn. Many are trusting in some type of religious work or activity to get them to God. Friends, they all fail. Nothing can save your soul but Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, preacher, why are you preaching salvation all the time? Because I am called to be a preacher. I'm not called to be a political analyst. I'm not called to be a researcher. I'm not called to be an editor. I'm not called to be an activist. I'm not called to be a rioter. I'm not called to be a protester. I'm not called to be anything else but a preacher. And a preacher heralds, he preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. The fact that the gospel has been absent from our churches, from our pulpits, from our radio waves, from the television, from every means of communication in this world, and the fact that the gospel and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ has been damaged by the lives of people who so-called are Christians, and yet they live like the children of Satan. Folks, if we had some Bible preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in word, but in deed, we wouldn't be having the mess that we see in America, because the gospel changes lives. Politics doesn't change lives. Policies doesn't change lives. Activism doesn't change lives. Nothing changes lives but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, the law cannot save me, and I did pretty well, I thought. Verse 11, sin had taken the opportunity, the law had given it in the life of Paul and had lulled him into believing that a life lived keeping the law was a life that would be saved. Verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Paul came to realize that a life lived by the law would not save you. A life lived under the demands of the law was nothing more than a living death. When Paul saw the truth of his situation, he did what many need to do right now. He threw off his dependence upon the law and he embraced Jesus Christ as his only means of salvation. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, Paul gives a window of detail in his life. In verse 7 of Philippians 3, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." If you or anyone you know is trying to get to God by keeping the Ten Commandments, then you need to know that it will never work. Number one, you will never be able to keep the Ten Commandments, because if you break one, you broke them all. The law must be abandoned for the Prince of Life. The law not only reveals sin, the law revives sin. The law ruins sinners. In verses 12 and 13, the law reflects sin. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, the Bible says, in verse 12, it says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." Paul's conclusion is that the law is holy. It is just. It is good. And if there is a problem, it is with the offender. It's not with the law. There are those in our day who do not like the Bible to be preached in its entirety. They are opposed to preachers naming sins, holding people to God's standard. Friends, there's nothing wrong with your Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. And they need to be preached. The Word of God must be preached. And the problem is with those who are hearing the Word of God. They are denying the Word of God and denying the truths of it, and their hearts are evil. Verse 13, the Bible says, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid." Now here Paul tells us that the law was given to reveal the truth about sin. You see, sin is so deceptive that it can take the law, which was given as an instrument of life, and it can twist it into an instrument of death. The Bible is clear. The law was given to us to point us to Jesus Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 24. It was given so that man could see his need of a Savior and then turn to him for salvation. It was given as a means, a pointing, a direction to salvation. It was never given as a means to righteousness or salvation. It was given as a signpost to point us unto the Savior. The law can never save a soul, but it can point us to the one who can. It cannot get the job done, it never will, but it can make us so miserable in our present condition that we want to find something better. That better thing is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He fulfilled the law and the righteous demands of that law. And now by placing our faith and trust in him, we can be eternally saved by grace through faith. This is the reason why the Bible must continue to be preached in its entirety and why sin must be named from the pulpits of America. Men need to see the truth about their sin and their condition. Until they do, they can never be saved. I hope you see that the law can do many things with sin, but it can reveal sin, it can revive sin, it can ruin sinners, and it reflects sin. But there's one thing the law can never do with sin. It can never remove sin. For that, my friend, we need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Christ removes sin. Where do you find yourself? Are you trying to be good enough by keeping the law? Are you trying to be a good person? Are you paying homage to associations, organizations, or organized religion? Are you trusting Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? My friend, you can be saved today. You can be saved today. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for your sin debt. And now all you need to do is come to him by faith and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and life. I want you to forgive me of my sin." If you do that, my friend, God will come into your heart. He will come into your heart in the form of the Holy Spirit, And the Word of God will begin to grow, and you will begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness according to the Word of God. I urge you, consider Christ this morning.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.